Session number 10887.
Mr. Baron, real one. Could you tell me how you came to be involved in the Norway campaign of 1940, please?
Yes. I was in the London Scottish TA regiment, and whilst we were at Canterbury area, volunteers were asked to go to Norway, and which I volunteered for, and was recruited into number 5 independent company, which went to Norway.
Can you tell me about the independent companies, what they were?
Yes, well, the independent companies were created specifically to go to Norway to help the Norwegian against their fight against the German invasion. They were formed from various regiments, and I think number 5 independent company was formed from the London Scottish, LRP, Queen's Westminster's, and Royal Fusiliers.
How were they supposed to operate?
The idea of the independent companies was to, so far as I understand, cooperate with the Norwegian army, and our main role was to delay the German advance from where we landed at Mosjøen in Norway, so that the British forces had time to build an airstrip at Buda. We landed at Mosjøen on the 8th of May, and number 5 independent company and my platoon was in action against the Germans on the 10th of May. We went up the railway, which ended at Mosjøen, and took up a position with the main bridge across the river, which we blew one span of the bridge, and then held a position until the Germans arrived and had an engagement.
Can you describe the engagement?
Yes, it was the engagement really was a rifle fire between ourselves across the river, and we maintained our position until we were asked to withdraw by our headquarters. Number 4 independent company was on our left, and they had an engagement as well.
What were the casualties that you suffered?
Our platoon, we didn't suffer any major casualties, except I think one chap was wounded.
So the Germans had nothing heavier than rifle themselves?
No. Rifles or machine guns, I can't remember exactly now.
Did you see anything of Norwegian civilians?
Oh yes, yes, yes. We saw quite a lot of the Norwegian civilians. Of course, the great thing about the Norwegian campaign, I was only a private at that time, but we had Norwegian officers with us, and after we withdrew from the engagement on the 10th, we went back and we were told to we had to leave Mosjøen, so the Germans were apparently coming up quickly, according to the according to information. Yes, after the engagement with the Germans by the bridge, we were recalled by headquarters, and we went down to back to Mosion and were waiting outside the headquarters, and our officer, platoon officer, came out and said we had to withdraw up the road. When we landed at Mosion originally, we had Bergen rucksacks full of all our equipment, marvellous equipment. It could have been better, the equipment we had to go to Norway. It was excellent. Anyway, as we were going up to a short engagement up to the bridge, we didn't take our Bergen rucksacks with us. We only went up in fighting order. But on going back to the headquarters and told we had to withdraw up the road to Elsfjord, we were not allowed to go and pick our rucksacks up from the house where we'd left them in Mosion, although they were only a few hundred yards away. So we had to abandon all our equipment, personal equipment, which was quite ridiculous from everyone's point of view. However, we had to do as we were told. We went up this road, and after a little while, marching up the road, of course the conditions were not very good, the snow and the roads were pretty bad, and it was not very... And we'd been out all night, and it'd been cold amongst the snow, etc. And one of the platoon chaps collapsed through fatigue exposure. So the platoon stopped to the side of the road, and the officer was rather uncertain what to do. So in the end, as the chap who collapsed was a London Scot, and I was a London Scot myself, I said to the officer that I would stay and look after him and catch him up. And an LRB corporal also volunteered to stay with me. So the platoon went off, and the officer said, well, you can't miss us. We're at a red barn, a mile or two up the road, and we'll leave a guard out, and you'll see us. So anyway, they went off, and we sat there, or stopped there with this chap for a little while. And then a Norwegian came along with a horse-drawn sleigh. So we commandeered the horse-drawn sleigh and put this chap on it and marched up the road. Now, we didn't see any British troops at all, and eventually we came across a small collection of houses and came across a Norwegian chap with a, at least I saw a Norwegian chap with a Red Cross on his arm. So I buttonholed him, and he spoke English, fortunately, and I told him our situation with this chap, and he said, oh, take him into the house. So he took him into the house, and he had a look at him, and he gave him some pills, and he said, oh, he'll be all right in the morning. Give him a night's rest. So we three stopped there in this house, and the next morning, the Norwegian troops, we asked if there's any British troops about, anyone had seen any British troops. No one had seen any British troops, and they were all going north, so we thought the only thing we could do was to march north. And we marched to the end of the road, which was Elsfjord. And on the way we picked up some REs who had been left to guard a dump, and they said they had been told to stay there until they got orders to retreat. So we said, well, you better come with us, because as far as we know there's no one between us and the Germans behind. So they came with us, and I said, altogether I think we picked up about 12 army chaps from various units, or REs, etc., sergeant of REs, and so on. Anyway, we got to Elsfjorden, and that was the end of the road in those days. There was no further, didn't go any further. And there was just the fjord up. And a lot of Norwegian troops there, and they had a steamer, and they were getting on the steamer and going up the fjord. And we made contact with the local commander and said, we'd like to go on. And he said, well, there's no room for you, but you can have a couple of rowing boats. So the Norwegians went off on the steamer, and we were left with two rowing boats amongst about 12 of us. We commandeered another rowing boat and we rowed up this fjord. I couldn't say for how long now, because it was daylight all the time, you see, there was no night during that time. And eventually we got to the head of the fjord, and there was a small island with a house, one or two houses on it, so we landed on there. But the chap came out and said we couldn't stay there because the Germans were across the water, and an airplane came over, etc., so we had to move on. And we went across to the mainland, and we disembarked on the rowing boats, abandoned them, and walked up the mountain because we were told it was a village on the other side. Anyway, we got up the top of the mountains, and what should we see when we got to the top of the mountain was a convoy coming down another fjord. Another fjord which leads from Moy Rana. And this fjord, this convoy of one troop ship and two destroyers was being attacked by enemy aircraft who were dropping bombs on and firing them. And the destroyers were firing at the German aircraft. It was quite a scene, really. And of course, we were excited to see the British troop ships from the top, and we sort of waved to them and all that sort of thing. But of course, it was quite ridiculous. And the convoy went out to the the main sea, and we sort of waved it goodbye. Anyway, we marched on over the mountain and saw this village down by the seashore. But we didn't go right down because one of the locals came up and said, sorry, you can't stop here because the Germans have a habit of coming over from the other side, from Hemsborge. So he said, but I'll take you on to the next village. So he said, he guided us to the next village. He was on skis, and we didn't have any skis. And it was quite an exhausting march because we were floundering along in snow and sometimes falling in the snow up to our hips. However, we eventually arrived at the village, and I must say the villagers looked after us excellently. They took us into their houses and insisted that they washed our socks and gave us a good night's rest and fed us, etc. And they said it would be quite all right because they were in telephone communication with three villages, and if any of the Germans came near us during the night, they would warn us as they would be keeping a watch. So, but nothing happened during the night, and the next morning they fed us and we went off, and they took us over the mountains again to another village, which I can't remember now. Had already arranged for a fishing smack to be there, which we went on board below, and this fishing smack took us up to Buda, which was quite a long way from where we got on it. So I think we were on the fishing smack for several hours, although I can't remember the exact time it took us now. Stop. It must have been overnight anyway, because when we arrived at Budo, it was in the morning, and I well remember that at the time there was a troop transport there with some more troops being unloaded, we sent the sergeant and corporal along to make contact with the local officer in command, and they came back after a while and they took us on board and gave us breakfast, but wouldn't allow us to get in contact with any of the troops which had just landed, in case we probably gave a wrong picture of what was going on in Norway. We were kept in isolation and eventually sent back to our unit, the number 5 independent company, which had arrived at Budo some days ahead, because it took us about a week to get back from Mosen to Budo after being left behind. We rejoined number 5 independent company at Fauska. We were in the area of Fauska and Finne for some days, and we were holding a river crossing at either Finne or some nearby place, and I myself with some others and a Norwegian officer were sent on a patrol up the mountain just in case some Germans were trying to flank us by coming over the mountain. We were up there for most of the day, and we came back late in the day and looked down from the mountain to the houses or river crossing where the rest of the platoon had been left, but we couldn't see any movement down there at all, so we were very cautious and approached it tactically, just in case it had been taken over by the Germans. However, when we got down there, we found that there was no one there and that the British troops had withdrawn. So we had a little conference and with the Norwegian officer, and we had two options to make. We could either walk down the road, hoping to catch up with the British troops, or commandeer a boat. But whilst we were doing this, two of the chaps were looking around the outhouses and they found a shed full of bicycles. So we decided the best thing would be to all commandeer a bicycle and cycle down the road back towards Budo, as we thought that was where the British troops were. Of course, on hindsight, it was rather a silly thing to do, because the Germans had cycle patrols, and we could have been taken for an enemy patrol by the British troops later on. However, we cycled down the road and came across to one of the guards' battalions, who fortunately didn't fire on us, and we eventually rejoined our independent company. But that was the sort of second time having been left behind in Norway, which we thought was rather unnecessary. We found out afterwards that they'd fired shots and done various things to try and attract our attention. But as they'd had orders to withdraw, they had to leave us behind.
Could I ask you at this stage whether you found that there was a sense of outrage amongst the Norwegians at the German invasion?
Oh, yes, I think so, yes.
What impression did you get of the Norwegian army from what you saw them?
Well, we didn't have a lot to do with the Norwegian army as such. We met quite a number of civilians in the villages we went through. But the opportunities for making close contact were very, very rare, really, you know, not very often. And we saw the only main contact with the Norwegian troops I had was when we were at Elsfjorden. And they were naturally keen to fight the Germans, etc. But I found that they were, well, no, they seemed to withdraw quite quickly.
Did the Norwegians seem happy to accept the presence of British troops in the country?
You must remember that I didn't have that time in my position in the as a private. I was not you know, given all the information as one would have if one had been an officer or in the headquarters. My impressions are only personal experience. I would say they were quite happy, but I did notice that during our withdrawal, or I did find out during our withdrawal, because some of the Norwegian troops, they were fighting the line for a number of days, and so I understand it, when they felt they'd had enough, they would go home for a rest, you know, not sort of like our British Army. And whilst we were rowing up the fjord on after Elsfjorden, two Norwegian officers, troops, came and moored their boat at the same position as ours and disappeared up the mountains. And after a while, two civilians came down and got in the boat and went away. So we presumed that they had given up the fight. And we noticed that when we eventually got back to Gurup, that Norwegian troops were there before us. So it's a very difficult thing. I couldn't really give an opinion on the situation as regards the acceptance of the British troops by the Norwegians. Although I will digress here and say that when I was thinking about going back to Norway, which last year, which we did, which I did this year with an old friend, to retrace our steps and have a look at the countryside again, I did hear from someone that the British troops in 1940 were not very welcome.
So if we can pick up the narrative with you having cycled into Bodø.
Yes, we rejoined our number 5 independent company nearby Bodø, and from then on we were at various places, and eventually we were told that we were going to evacuate from Bodø. And so we marched from where we were, which must have been near the area of Fauske, or possibly at around Vagen. We marched there, and it was quite a long march under rough roads. And the thing that astounded us, the independent platoon company, we were following on some other troops, and these troops had or presumably the ones in front of us, or other troops in front of us, had abandoned their weapons, or particularly Bren guns, which we found in the ditch. We were rather surprised at this and didn't think we could leave these Bren guns there, so we picked them up and took them along with us. So instead of having about four Bren guns, we had about eight by the end of the march, and we took them right back to England with us and kept them with us all the time. But other troops had abandoned their weapons. Anyway, we arrived at Budo, and in the meantime it had been bombed by the Germans, and most of the town had been razed to the ground. Whilst we were waiting to be evacuated, we were allowed to go into the warehouse and take what food we wanted. And one of the main things there we saw in the warehouse, it was stacked full of tinned food, there was tinned vegetables. And of course we hadn't seen any vegetables whilst we'd been in Norway. We'd only had boiled potatoes and fish mainly. And so these tinned vegetables were absolute delicacy. And we sat down and we had a few tins of Brussels sprouts and carrots and so on, and they were quite good, you know, after not having them for a long time, even though they were cold. At any rate, we eventually marched through the town and we were evacuated. And it was absolutely by the Navy, and it was so efficient by the Navy. The destroyers came in through the entrance to the harbour and without any fuss at all just drew up alongside the quay, and all the troops were poured on as much as possible. We were packed like sardines on the destroyer, and out it went again. It was apparently, it didn't stop there any time at all, because it was quite a confined area, and I'm afraid of aircraft bombing, etc. And they took us up to Harstead, in further north in Norway. And we were up there a few days, and then we were evacuated from Harstead. For another operation, but by a destroyer, HMS Echo. But instead of going somewhere else in Norway, we were transferred at sea to the Lancastria and taken back to Scotland, where we landed at Gourock, and being greeted on the quay by Norwegian troops.
So you must have found the Norwegian campaign rather frustrating then.
Well, from my personal point of view, I thought it was a shambles. But I would say that's...
Now, can you tell me how you came to be involved with the commandos?
Yes. After landing at Gourock, we were taken to Hamilton, Glasgow, and then went up to Arisaig in Scotland for further training with